What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Baseball Connection. So, we are less than 2 weeks away from opening day. Actually, a lot sooner than that if you want to be technical about it. We do have the Padres and the Dodgers in Korea right now as they get ready for their season. You know, they're playing some exhibition games in Korea against some, like, the Korean national team and some KBO teams. And then the first game of the season will be this coming Wednesday, March 20th. That's going to be Tyler Glasnow versus Yu Darvish. That's going to be the first game of the Major League Baseball season. So that's just 3 days away. But then, you know, they're going to play a series there. You've got a three-game series. And then they'll head back to North America, and then everyone else will catch up with them for the real opening day, which is, you know, 11 days away or something like that. So baseball is pretty much here. Baseball's pretty much here. Yeah, the 28th, 11 days. Let's catch up on some news, though. There have been some occurrences in the last week or so that are worth discussing. There's a trade, pretty notable trade, which sent Dylan Cease to the San Diego Padres. So the Dylan Cease saga has come to an end. You know, there were a lot of trade rumors surrounding this guy, right-handed pitcher who was pitching for the White Sox, who had pitched for the White Sox his whole major league career, I believe. So he's been sent out west to San Diego in exchange for three prospects and one big league reliever. So three prospects: Drew Thorpe, Jairo Iriarte, and Samuel Zavala, and then a big league reliever, Steven Wilson. And, you know, we were hearing Dylan Cease's name in trade talks as far back as last summer's trade deadline. Chicago took him off the market at that time, but their first-year general manager, he made it clear that he was willing to consider offers on pretty much anyone on that roster going into offseason. And that made Dylan Cease one of the top names of the winter. And, you know, they got offers early in the offseason and they pulled back, saying they wanted to wait for the free agent rotation market to play out more, you know, before they would shop him. But now Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery have lingered in free agency longer than anyone anticipated. And with opening day, like I just said, 11 days away, you know, and I guess at the point when they made this trade, it was just 2 weeks away, you know, they had more urgency to make a move. So they just did that. So the Padres acquired Dylan Cease, and we just talk about the Padres in Korea. He's traveling with them to Korea, and he's going to start the season out there. So, yeah, it's a big strike for the Padres because, you know, for much of the offseason, they went the opposite direction. They lost Josh Hader to free agency, Seth Lugo, Nick Martinez, Michael Wacha. They lost four pitchers to free agency, and they're about to lose Blake Snell to free agency as well. That's huge. And then they also, I mean, the biggest loss came through a trade where that's not really a loss. It's a loss at the end of the day, but it was a trade of Juan Soto to the Yankees for his final year of team control. So, yes, they did bring back some controllable starting pitchers like Michael King, Yonny Brito, Randy Vasquez, you know, but it's not the same as Juan Soto, right? They do still have two elite pitchers on their team, Joe Musgrove and Yu Darvish. Those are the top two guys. Now you get Cease and you're actually in a pretty good spot. You know, Darvish, Musgrove, Cease. The Cease, 1-2-3 right there. Yeah, I mean, at his best, Dylan Cease has shown to be a very durable pitcher, and he has the ceiling of a top rotation guy. I mean, he was dominant 2 seasons ago when he had a 2.2 ERA and a 30% strikeout rate through 184 innings. And he was a Cy Young runner-up behind Justin Verlander that year. He didn't replicate that last season. He had a very high ERA, very pedestrian, at least for him, 4.5 ERA. But he did throw 177 innings. Like I said, very durable. Yes, of course, you're going to regress from a 2.2 ERA. That always seems likely. But his ERA more than doubled. That really wasn't expected. And some people would say there's bad luck there because, you know, ball and play results, partially a reflection in his batted ball fortune. That spiked from, like, his BABIP against him was 260 in that year that he was really good. A 260 BABIP, and then last year it spikes up to 330. So there you go. So, I mean, As is often the case, his true talent ERA likely falls somewhere in the middle between the 2.2 and the 4.58. I mean, if you look at his numbers going back to the start of 2020, he has a 3.5 ERA, just shy of 600 innings. So somewhere in the middle, in the threes, right around there. I think that's pretty fair to say. And that's where you're going to get. So San Diego wants to contend. It's a renewed push for contention. You know, they've never shied away from going out to get pieces, you know, at least the past few years. You saw them spend a lot of money over the past few years. They just, you know, can't get past some of the juggernauts in the National League West, but they're in also a win now mode right now. They're in a win now mode. So we'll see what they do with that in 2024 here in 11 days. Speaking of win now, the Houston Astros are in win now mode, and they're in a very similar position to the Padres in that they've lost a lot of pitchers, but this time due to injury, not because of, you know, these guys being free agents or anything, but due to injury. So, I mean, Lance McCullers Jr., Luis Garcia Jr., these guys were going to be starting the year on the injured list anyway because they had elbow surgeries last summer, but they've already seen some more dominoes fall this spring. Justin Verlander has been slowed by some right shoulder soreness. It doesn't seem terribly serious, but it delayed him enough that he's going to start the season on the injured list. And then Jose Urquidy left his start early due to pain in his right elbow. So if Urquidy needs to miss time, the opening day rotation is going to project to include Framber Valdez, Christian Javier, and Hunter Brown for the front three. You'll probably see JP France somewhere in the back as well. He's been slowed by a shoulder issue this spring, but he seems on track to be the fourth starter. Then you have an opening. So now we're hearing that the Astros are in serious pursuit of Blake Snell. Of course, that would shake things up. He wouldn't be a back-end starter. He'd be, you know, the number one guy in Houston, but he is still a free agent. Obviously, Snell hasn't gotten the kind of money or long-term deal that he envisioned at the beginning of the offseason because he would have signed it if he got the offer. He's most likely going to follow in the path of Cody Bellinger, Matt Chapman, and get a short-term guarantee with opt-outs. So it's been reported that Snell is looking for something around like 3 years with a $30 to $32 million annual salary with an opt-out after each of the next two seasons. So talking about like 3 years, 90, 3 years, 96 with an opt-out after each year. That's something that Blake Snell is reportedly looking for because if he pitches well, you can opt out, become a free agent again. You know, this is becoming a more common thing that we're seeing nowadays because it's lower risk for teams. I mean, give him an opt-out. I mean, it's lower risk. That's simply what it is. That's simply what it is. You can pay him a solid salary, and then if he pitches well, yeah, you might lose him. But if he doesn't pitch so well, I mean, you only have him for 3 years. So the thing with the Blake Snell signing, I mean, not that it really matters so much because the Astros are in win-now mode. It would come with, you know, a luxury tax penalty. If they, let's say they pay Snell $32 million. Dollars average annual value, that would come with approximate $13.3 million tax bill for this year because they're already in the luxury tax. But the Astros are in win now mode. You know, we saw them deep into the playoffs last year. They lost to the Rangers, but you know, they're in win now mode. You have guys Verlander, Altuve, you know, you have some guys like Kyle Tucker, who knows how long he's going to be around. Alvarez, these guys are right there chomping at the bit, ready to help you win, and you got to cash in immediately. Let's head to New York, where news earlier in the week came out about Gerrit Cole being shut down. So he's going to be shut down for the next 3 to 4 weeks before reevaluating his condition. So, I mean, he's shut down completely for 3 to 4 weeks before reevaluation, but it's believed that his timeline for returning to MLB action is going to be closer to 10 to 12 weeks. So in either case, surgery is not on the table right now, and the Yankees should get him back within the first half of the season. I mean, let's just say 12 weeks, exactly 3 months, looking sometime in June for Gerrit Cole to return to a big league mound. That was the initial expectation. I mean, the team doctors, first of all, identified the issue as elbow inflammation. He had an MRI. They concluded his UCL was intact. You know, of course, that's a Tommy John ligament. And then he went to a top orthopedic surgeon in LA, Dr. Neil Elitroch, for additional testing. And it seems like that in-person evaluation confirmed the indication that he has not sustained any UCL damage, because I think we would have heard surgery or something like that, or at least a procedure of some sorts, if that was the case. I could be wrong, but maybe there's something we are not being told. At the end of the day, they're just shutting him down, and he's nursing nerve inflammation and edema, which he is planning to treat with rest and recovery. He does not anticipate getting any PRP injections. So basically, no Gerrit Cole until June. And obviously, there's no way for the Yankees to replace a pitcher like Gerrit Cole, because he is one of a kind. So, I mean, he's a Cy Young. He's a Cy Young winner. That's what you get, the reigning Cy Young. So you have Carlos Rodon, Marcus Stroman, and Nestor Cortez as your top three arms to start the season. And Clark Schmidt penciled into the fourth spot. There's no clear five starter right now. Yankees will figure that out. They could benefit from adding veteran stability to the back end. You know, apparently the Yankees recently checked in with Michael Lorenzen. But you also have to remember, Gerrit Cole's coming back, you know, fingers crossed, in June. So the urgency it's not that bad. You know, yes, you only have four guys who can get you through, and then you throw in a fifth starter. I mean, yeah, sure, it's not the same as having Cole, but you don't want to make a rash decision if you expect him to be back in 3 months. So late May or early June, that's what we're saying. So with plenty of season left at that point. So another pitcher who's going to be out for about 3 months is Devin Williams, the Brewers star closer. He's been diagnosed with two stress fractures in his back. So he's going to be shut down entirely for 6 weeks, and then expected return to an MLB action, you know, around 3 months. So hopefully after 6 weeks, he can pick up the ball again and start working his way back to full recovery in 3 months. So the injury is not expected to affect his career. It's just a 3-month injury. He needs to heal those stress fractures. I mean, the thing with Devin Williams, star closer, considered one of the best relievers in baseball, he's turned in a sub-2 ERA in consecutive years. Just outstanding. Outstanding closer, wiffle ball changeup. That's what he's known for. He was named the National League's reliever of the year last year for the second time in his career. So the Brewers are going to have to find a way to work around this. I mean, they haven't discussed if they're going to go with a committee approach to the ninth inning or pick a defined closer, but they do have a few guys who are honestly, you know, obviously down. I was going to say no-name guys, but that's not fair. I mean, you do have Trevor McGill in that mix, you know, Joel Piamps, Abner Uribe, and Trevor McGill. I think we know who Trevor McGill is. Uribe has more traditional closing stuff. He's one of the hardest throwers in baseball, averaging 99.4 on a sinker as a rookie. So he's your more traditional candidate for that role, and a 53% ground ball percentage. Some eye-popping stuff, honestly, but he does lack some command, which could keep him out of the ninth inning. He walked more than 15% of opponents last season. So the Brewers will have to make a decision on that one. The Pirates signed Michael A. Taylor. So a late addition to their outfield. They're in agreement with center fielder Michael A. Taylor on a 1-year, $4 million contract. And yeah, Michael A. Taylor is 33 later this month. He's long been a defensive standout in the big leagues. You know, we know what he can do defensively. The bat has always been very underwhelming, but he's a glove. Pittsburgh doesn't have too high of expectations, and he's gonna make a difference out there. So just thought I would mention that, but that is where we are today. If you enjoyed this, please share it with someone who'd be interested, and we'll see you next time on Baseball Connection.